All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just read the first two verses there. Y'all there? Well, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, now then. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It amazes me how the Bible is and how he says so much with so few words and crams so much in there. It's just, there's so many things that you can talk about of those two verses there. But seeing we have received this ministry, you know, everybody's involved in the ministry. Y'all know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
There's no such a thing, really, as two classes of Christians. You know, the clergy and then the laymen, they say. That's really not the way it is. Everybody is in the ministry. If you're saved, you have received the same ministry I have. We're just members, that various members of the same body. We have different things we do, different gifts, different positions, whatever you want to call it. But we all have this same ministry. It's all to work together for the same thing, no matter what you do. It's like we was talking about a while ago about the different people we've known in churches that just do little things, that just little kindnesses that they do consistently. They're involved in that ministry. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God and explain the Word of God and all of that to be in the ministry. You're in the ministry if you are saved. And so whatever you can do, you ought to do. And nothing is too small or insignificant to not count. It all counts. And so, seeing we have this ministry, we all have this ministry. So it's not a responsibility that God has only put on a few chosen people called preachers or pastors or teachers or evangelists or missionaries. We all bear the responsibility to minister the message of the gospel to others. You know, I've been around a lot of different kinds of Baptists through the years, and I around some of them that make much of being called. You know, I've heard them talk about their calling to preach as if it was another spiritual experience like salvation. Well, you know, they can say what they want to say, but that isn't the way it was with me. You know, the way it was with me, somebody's got to do something. You know, I just feel responsible. I just have to do this. I just have to. I didn't want to for years and tried not to. But you just, it's like Paul said, of necessity, you know, it's just laid upon me. I just have to do it. Now, whatever you want to, if you want to call that a calling, then go ahead and call it a calling. But I just feel like every Christian ought to feel that way.
Yes, sir.
I just don't see how you can be saved and you've received all this mercy and you just don't care.
Yeah.
And you just think, well, somebody else can do it. I just don't see how you can do that. That's the kind of people who leave their shopping carts on the parking lot. You know, are you a shopping cart Christian? You know, just, you don't want, I don't understand that kind of thinking.
No.
You know, preachers have the extra responsibilities as pastors and evangelists and missionaries and teachers, but the ministry of the gospel is not exclusive to them. Now, the Bible says that God put some pastors, evangelists, teachers, you know, apostles, God put them in there. Well, he also put other people in there that are not pastors and that are not teachers and that are not evangelists and that are not apostles or missionaries. But they're there. What are they there for? Well, they're there for the same reason. For the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the church, for the furtherance of the gospel. This whole thing, it's the ministry of the church, not the ministry of one person. That's one of the big failings of the last generation or two here. They've made, everybody's made it, built a ministry around a man or a personality. And when he falters or dies or changes his mind, then the whole thing just fades away. And it shouldn't be that way. Jesus died for the church, and he bought the church with his blood. And the church is a body. A church is an assembly. That's what a church is, a called out assembly. Iglesia in Spanish, ecclesia in whatever, Greek, whatever it is. It's almost the same word. But it's a called out assembly. It's a bunch of people. You know, a group of people. So we're as a church, we've got this ministry. And all people have received mercy. Everybody's received mercy. But what about people who are saved? People that are saved ought to be keenly aware of the mercy that they've received. The verse says what it says. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Yes. As we have received mercy, we ought to be grateful. We're people that are saved are keenly aware that they have not got what they deserved. You got mercy. That's not receiving what you should have got. God was kind.
Yep, that's right.
And didn't give you what you deserve. Jesus died in your place so that you could receive mercy. And so we're keenly aware that we've received mercy. So that ought to make us willing, and we're grateful for it. And we feel indebted to God and His cause because of the mercy we've received. Don't you feel like that you are indebted to God? Most people think of it the opposite way. He paid my debt, so now I'm free. They don't feel obligated, obliged, indebted to God at all. They just feel like, man, He just bailed me out. So long. If I ever need you again, I'll holler at you. That's the attitude toward God. So as we receive mercy, we got this. We receive this ministry because we receive mercy. We faint not. What does that mean? You don't quit.
Right.
Real believers don't quit. We read something this morning in our reading, and I think it was this morning. But anyway, I told her, see there? It's just so plain. It's in Hebrews. We're reading in Hebrews now. But, you know, people teach now that, like this goofball I was watching last night. And he believes, you know, I don't see God anywhere within a 100-mile radius of him. But anyway, say, you're judging. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. You got it. Christians have a certain spirit. If the Spirit of God's in you, you don't have other kinds of spirits.
Right.
Like the world and this hot shot, you know, kick everybody's rear end in the sight and in your sight and all that.
Yeah.
No. But he believes once you're saved, that's it, buddy. No matter what you do, you're saved. Well, I'm a Baptist. I believe in eternal security of the believer.
Yes,
but I believe that you must be a believer.
Yeah.
And here's another thing that I believe, and I believe it's right, and I believe I can show you in the Bible. A believer don't quit believing. We don't faint.
Yep,
since we receive mercy and this ministry, we faint not.
Yep.
No matter what. You got the strength, you got the grace, you got what it takes to go on. You don't quit. We find His grace sufficient to keep going. I always have. Sure have. Always been enough strength to go on. Never have I been to the point where I just couldn't. I've been there, but there was strength.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's like the widow's cruse, you know, of oil. You can pour it all out and put it down. But the next time you pick it up, there's still some more in it. And that's just how it works.
Thank the Lord.
Just always there.
Yes,
He giveth more grace. That's the way it works. So even when we receive persecution or hardship instead of reward. See, as a Christian, now please listen to this. You don't have to have sympathy. You don't have to have encouragement. You don't have to have a pat on the back. You don't have to have reward now. You can keep going without all that. If nobody encourages you, if nobody likes you, if nobody tries to help you, if all you get is slandered and treated bad and everybody hates you, you go on anyway. You can do it. Mm-hmm. I believe a real Christian does. Jesus did it. Yeah. Paul did it. Peter did it. Paul said, at my last stand, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. We just got through reading Paul's epistles, and there at the end, you know, he was all alone. He said, bring the parchment, bring my cloak. Try your best to get here before winter. I don't have anybody. I have no man like-minded. But did he quit?
No.
Did he falter? Did he fade down? Did he quieten down? Nope. That's why at the very end he could say, I've fought a good fight.
Yes, sir.
I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of life. That's right. And so we don't quit. That's my point. We just don't quit.
Amen.
Even when we can see nothing visibly accomplished by our efforts and sacrifices. See, a lot of people can't do that. I've seen a lot of people through my lifetime as a Christian here who couldn't do it. When it just looked like they wasn't doing any good, they quit and went on to other pastures.
Yeah.
I've seen them just quit completely and quit church and go to the world because it just didn't seem like it was doing any good. Well, it just doesn't matter to the real Christian as far as that goes. I mean, here's the deal. They're not going to quit if they can't see any good being done. They're going to keep on. They're going to be faithful. That's what faithfulness is. It's going on. You walk by faith, not by sight. So you don't have to see. You don't have to touch. You don't have to have it in sight in order to keep going. You can keep going. Trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing what you know He wants you to do, even if you can't see any results.
Yes.
So, amen. Even when nobody else will go with us, we'll go on. So we faint not. We don't faint because we don't see any results. We don't faint because we're persecuted. We don't faint because we're alone. We just go on. Because we got this ministry that God's given us. Because we're saved. Because we've received mercy. We got a responsibility to keep going. We won't quit. We don't quit. We won't quit. There's too much at stake. How can you quit? If you look around you and look at what all hangs on whether you keep on or not, how can you quit? How can a man with a family just quit on the Lord with his kids and his wife and his grandchildren? And how can he do that? Well, I'll just tell you what I believe. I believe he doesn't know anything about the mercy of God.
That's right.
And the real salvation of God. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's powerful enough, and its influence on you is enough to where you will not quit.
Amen.
That's right.
You cannot quit. There's too much at stake. The souls of children, family, loved ones, as well as of other people that depend upon our faithfulness. You know, the Calvinists don't believe this stuff. They think God does it all and you don't have anything to do with it. And you know, but that's like the person that says, just go out there and stand in the middle of the freeway. If it's your time to go, you'll go. If not, it don't matter how many trucks are, you ain't going to die. That's foolishness.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Same kind of thinking is that it doesn't matter what we do, God's able to save whoever He wants. And God will save whoever He wants. No, let me tell you something. Souls will be in hell or heaven because of you and because of me. I'll make decisions in my life and have that make the difference in the eternal destiny of some other soul. Don't blame it all on God and say you don't matter. Yes, you do matter. And I do matter also.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My life is an influence. The words I say, the things I do. Why has God got us here if that ain't the way it is? If it don't matter what we do, then why don't He just take us to heaven as soon as we get saved and forget it? Because we're here. Because we've been given this ministry. And this ministry has fruit one way or the other.
Yeah.
What we do determines. Well, I mean, it has a part in what other souls do with God for eternity. So there are souls that no one can reach but us. Do you realize that? There are souls on this earth that there's nobody could reach them but you. You know what would have happened to me if some of the very instrumental people in my life had quit before I ever come along? Oh, God would have made sure somebody else was there. Well, maybe. But I just don't know about that. I know we have a responsibility, and I know we have an effect, and I know that our lives matter, and the words we say, and the Bible is too full, it's too full of instructions and commandments about our words and how we act and what we do concerning other people. So don't tell me that it doesn't matter what you do, God's able to do whatever He wants. There's souls that no one can reach but you. And if we quit, or you quit, they'll not be reached. The reward is too great to forfeit. Can't quit. We won't quit. We don't quit. Because it's too great to forfeit, the reward is. There'll be a time when our faithfulness will be rewarded. And there'll be a time when all the covers will be taken off and we'll be able to see what God was doing with our feeble efforts that we thought were accomplishing nothing. I don't know of anybody that's a real Christian that don't feel most of the time like they're not accomplishing anything. Feel like they're not doing any good. Mm-hmm. And then they go to some super soul winning meeting and get told, yeah, you ain't worth nothing. How many souls you won this week? How many blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Which is wickedness, in my opinion.
Yep.
Yep.
You just live your life for God and be faithful in the ministry that you've received.
Mm-hmm.
And leave it to God. It's God that gives us the increase.
Right.
But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, verse 2. All right? All dishonesty wears a cover to hide itself. Most people are not dishonest right out in the open. They try to appear as honest as they can be, but they're not. They're covering it. It's sometimes very thin, their cover is, though, and it gives the wearer a false sense of being hidden, while everyone else can see right through him. Did you ever watch little kids? I mean, one of them did it here just here the other day, something or other, but they thought they were hid, but they wasn't hid. Everybody could see them. Yes. Yeah. I've seen little kids do it all my life. But grown people do the same thing. They put on this false face and smile and say these false words, and everybody knows they're lying. Everybody knows, sees right through them.
Yeah.
So we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. If you're going to fulfill this ministry because of the mercy you've received, you're going to give up on that junk. You're going to be honest. You're just going to be a real person. That's what we call it, real people.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're honest and what you see is what you get. I mean, I am what you see.
Right.
I'm not trying to snow you. I'm not trying to blow you away with this false face and false words and false image that I'm trying to create for you. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Just be real. Many who handle the Word of God do so with hidden things of dishonesty. They're not completely honest in what they present to others as the truth of God. And I know some of you don't understand what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about men who preach the Word of God and these women who preach the Word of God. Say they do. They're not honest.
That's right.
They're not being honest with the Word of God. Now imagine that. Thy Word is truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, This book is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And you preach the truth with dishonesty? That's messed up right there. They're troubled in their own heart about what they're saying to the people because of the truth that they've been exposed to. I remember reading this thing years ago this guy wrote, and he just told this story about this preacher that belonged to a certain denomination, and he had went to their school and learned all of their doctrine and their theology, the way they taught it, and one day he was sitting in his office reading the Bible, and he came across that verse, and it completely contradicted some of the doctrine that his denomination believed, and he knew it. And he knew the Bible contradicted what he had been taught, what he was teaching. And he did some more study and confirmed it in other verses, and it became clear to him that the doctrine of his denomination was wrong. So what's he going to do? I mean, his pension, his livelihood, his position, his living. If he's honest, then he loses it all. If he's honest, he also loses all of the fellowship of all of his brethren that he's associated with. I mean, it's going to cost him everything to be honest. So how many do you think are honest? Right, Gary? Almost none. It's a rare thing that a man will see it and say, I don't care. Well, you know, there's examples in history of different men. Now, I'm no fan of Martin Luther, but that, he was one that did that. I mean, he took the risk of his life to stand against the Catholic Church because he can't, even though he was a priest, he came to see that what they were teaching was not right. And I don't know if he was right ever, but I mean, he did that.
Yeah,
I mean, the man had enough honesty in his heart to do that. And I know a whole bunch of Baptist preachers that I know personally that do not.
Yeah, that's right.
I've seen them see the truth and own it. Say, you're right. That is right. I agree. I understand. And then they'll go right to the pulpit and preach the opposite.
Exactly.
Because their buddies wouldn't fellowship with them anymore. They wouldn't get invited to preach to the churches they preach in every year. And they'd lose their position in their pulpit. And then who would have them? Missionary, you know? I mean, how could I be a missionary now? You tell me. What would I have to do in order to go to churches and raise support to be a missionary? I'd have to be dishonest. Yep. Because if I'm honest, there ain't a one of them going to help me. That's right. Well, you're just a heretic. No, I'm not.
No.
But we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Don't hide anymore.
Right.
This is what I believe. Yep. And I'll tell you.
Right.
And if you don't agree with me, fine.
That's right. Yep.
But it's you know, what are you going to do when you face God and you've been told the truth and you rejected it and embraced a lie instead? People are dishonest because of their own personal gain in some way or another. They preach doctrines of the denomination or group they've been identified with while knowing in their heart that these doctrines do not agree with the Word of God. There are many reasons for doing this. Among which are money, position, acceptance, and all that. Men also are dishonest with the Word of God because their own heart is condemned by the truth, so they twist it to suit themselves. Maybe y'all are going to have a hard time believing this, but there are preachers that stand behind pulpits and they preach, they twist the Word of God as they preach it to cover their own sin. I don't want to go off talking about people, but that's the truth. And so many preachers twist the truth to agree with their own experience while knowing that what the Bible says condemns them. This preacher I was talking about a while ago, he's on the internet all the time. He's an internet preacher. He's got a church somewhere, and he's always on there ranting. Well, he got to messing around with the church secretary, and so his wife left him. And so he divorced her, married his secretary. And he still preaches against divorce. Yeah.
What good is that?
Well, yeah. What good is that?
What a hypocrite.
Had kids and everything, but, you know. He preaches it in a way that he's covered. See? That he's justified. Yeah. They do that. But when I read my Bible and it says that we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, I got to wonder about it, somebody to do like that.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you ought to be honest. If your marriage ended and it was all a mess and you couldn't do nothing about it and it wasn't nothing to do with that, why, you ought to at least be honest and say, well, you know, the Lord set some requirements for a pastor and I just can't do this anymore, and be honest. How could a pastor run off with a woman and divorce his wife and all of that and then stand in the pulpit and keep on preaching?
No. Can't.
I've seen them do it over and over.
Sure.
I can call some names right now. Everybody know.
Yep.
They're still at it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they're way up the pole now from where I'm at. You know. Well, anyway. A lot of preachers, as well as common Christians, preach only of their experience and very little or nothing of the truth of the Bible. The hidden things of dishonesty, it's dishonest to preach your experience as the gospel.
Right.
Preach the gospel. Hang your experience. Who cares about that? That ain't the truth. The truth's not determined by what you've experienced. That's the way the tongue talkers do. That's the way every cult does. That's the way every off-the-wall thing is. Preach the truth, the gospel. This ministry that we've received, it's about Jesus who died for our sins, who's coming back to get us, to take us where He is. The gospel is about the fact that He rose from the dead and conquered death and made and abolished death. It's not about what happened to me 45 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not about them feelings I got and them goosebumps went up and down my back and that time I shouted my hair down and all, you know.
Yeah.
It's not about experience. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what happened to you. It's not about some prayer or miracle or thing that you experienced. All these motivational speakers, they call them now, they got something that's in their life. They've got some affliction, or they had some big car wreck, or they had some calamity in their life, and they make a whole ministry of it, and they just travel around the country in a big old bus or motor home, and they just go church to church and tell the same story over and over.
Mm-hmm.
About what all God did for them through their hard time. Well, now, I just tell you right now, I just don't believe God is in that. Amen.
Amen.
I don't believe God gives us that ministry.
Mm-mm.
I've never seen one that I thought was real and of God. And made. We're supposed to be preaching Christ,
yes.
Not us.
Yes, sir.
We're not supposed to be preaching what He's done for us. We're supposed to be preaching Him to them.
Exactly, yes, sir.
And I believe that's right. Not walking in craftiness, it says. Well, dishonesty and craftiness, that means not dealing deceitfully, not hiding things, not misrepresenting things, not using trickery and gimmicks and games to control others or to get from them what you want, not repeating things that others have said or believe without a true understanding of the matter ourselves. I've done it when I was young. Preached what I just heard. I just preached what I heard from somebody else. That's what a lot of young preachers do.
Yes.
I don't do that anymore.
Nope.
Not, that's craftiness. Dealing deceitful. Hiding things. Misrepresenting things. Using trickery. I've seen that in church. Have you ever seen that in church? manipulating people to get them to raise their hand or to say amen when they shouldn't, you know, and then trapping them. Yeah, I've seen these crafty preachers do that. You know what they do? They hurt the sheep. They make them so that they won't respond.
That's right.
They say, you do that to me that way, I'll not... I'm not saying nothing. I'm not raising my hand. I'm not going forward. I'm not standing up. Because ain't no telling what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
Not using craftiness.
Right.
Nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Deceiving people with the word of God. The devil does that.
Oh, yeah.
And people do it too. But as we've received this ministry, because having received mercy, we don't do this. We don't deceive people with the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. We tell people what it says so that they may know the truth, and the truth will make them free. We don't try to trap them into our group, our movement, our church, our possession. You know, we don't try to claim them as ours by deceiving them with the Word of God. You have been deceived with the Word of God before in your life. Yeah. You've had preachers and you've been in places where they told you, now the Bible says that you won't do this, this, this. And they've twisted the Word of God to make you believe that if you don't do this, you're not even a Christian.
Right.
Yep. You want some examples? How about door-to-door soul winning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you don't do, I've heard it in church. I've sat in a pew and heard it, that if you don't go to soul winning visitation, knocking doors, you probably are not even saved. I've heard them say that. Now that is deceiving with the Word of God, because the Word of God does not even say that. They're claiming and twisting the Bible to make up something to try to manipulate you. And I've never known one of them in my life. And I've had plenty of time to look back and think real deep about it. I've not known one of them that wasn't doing it for any. They were doing it to manipulate people to work like mules to build this number up in this church.
That's right.
So that they could go to meetings and brag about their big church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. You wouldn't dare say that back then, but I'm saying it now.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm old, and now I can see a lot clearer. And now we got the fruit. The harvest has come in, and we can see.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we have received a ministry to preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, but it don't mean just that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always thought, even back then, I thought, man, you know, what about that? Even then, I believe that's what we ought to be doing. But even then, I thought, well, what if I lived in Iraq or Saudi Arabia or Iran or North Korea? What if I was living there? You mean I couldn't even be a Christian?
Right, yeah. I know that.
How can they do that? They can't.
Mm-hmm.
And the honest truth of the matter is, now, in this country, you can't hardly do it either. You're taking your life in your hand. You're putting all kinds of risk on yourself and other people if you try doing that way. The way we used to do it. Man, we just went everywhere. We knocked on every door. It didn't matter who come to the door. The meaner, the rougher they looked, the more we put into it. We thought we was doing something. It's a different world now.
Yes, sir.
Different situation now. And especially now, just look, everybody's closed up now. Everybody's hiding behind masks now.
Yeah.
Let alone closed doors.
Right. That's right.
That's not what being a Christian is. And that's just one way of deceiving people with the Word of God. Devil did it with Eve. Devil tried to do this with Jesus. I mean, when Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness for 40 days, what was the devil working on him with? The Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The devil were using the Word of God on the Word of God to try to deceive him. He was the Word.
Yes, sir.
He was the one who said the Word. He was God. And here's the devil trying to deceive him with the Word of God. Yeah, but he gave it his best shot.
Sure did.
And that's just exactly what he does with everybody else. If you do quit on God one of these days, I promise you how you're going to do it. The devil's going to convince you with some verses out of the Bible that you're right and everybody else is wrong that's tried to help you and lead you along. You're going to get a warped, twisted notion in your head from the Word of God, and you're going to believe you're right and you understand, and we don't. That's what's going to happen to you. If you quit, that's how you're going to do it.
Yep.
You're not going to say, I quit. I don't like any of it and I don't want it anymore. You ain't going to do it that way. You're going to go out the door thinking, I'm more spiritual than they are.
Yep.
I've got light they've never seen.
That always works.
It does. So it's one of the most commonly used tricks. Not just by the devil. He gets other people to do it too. Even unknowingly and unwittingly, he gets preachers to deceive people with the Word of God. That's why we've got this church. That's why I couldn't stand sitting in church any longer listening to that very thing right there. Here's some man get up and preach the Word of God and twist it. And I'm sitting there thinking and knowing that these people are listening to this and they're believing wrong. They're getting the wrong idea in their mind about their sin, their salvation, and their hope is going to be lost. So, to use the Word of God to deceive someone and cause them to be lost or led astray, it's wicked. It's the most dangerous because they're convinced they're doing right because they have Bible verses to back it up. It's grievous to me. I read Leonard Ravenhill a while ago and he said the real Christian is grieved over the church and the apathy and the lack of prayer and the, you know, everything. He went right down the list and boy, it's just exactly the way it is. I seen some pictures of a missionary that we knew years ago, young, went to the mission field, stayed there all of his life. His kids grew up there. Now they're back in the States going to community churches and stuff where they rock on. And their dad was always a doctrine teacher and a preacher. You know, I mean, he studied the Word and always. But now they know better than he does, for sure. They figured out a better way that poor old dad was. He missed it along the road somehow.
Yeah.
And they're not smart. They're not smarter than he is. They're not more spiritual than he is. No, they've been deceived by the Word of God through somebody.
Yeah.
That's what's happened to them. And they've got plenty of Bible. Did you ever try to argue or reason or talk to anybody like that? How far you think you're going to get? They got the verses to back it up. Oh, yes, sir. No one is in more danger of their soul than someone who thinks they're right while someone has deceived them with the Word of God. So, I'm going to quit. Therefore, we should make it an important matter of our life to find the truth and get understanding and make sure we tell others the truth about everything without dishonesty and without craftiness and not using the Word of God deceitfully. Just honest and real and true. But especially in the matters of God, sin, and salvation. See? Here's the question that matters most. Do you really want the truth in your life? And are you really going to obey the truth when you find it out? Because that's who's got the ministry. That's who's received mercy. Those are the people. That's it right there. The ones who just hang around. The ones that just say, well, I love the truth. I want the truth. And then you preach the truth to them and they get mad and leave. No, they weren't honest. The honest ones are the ones when they hear it, no matter how it hits them. If it blesses them half to death, they just shout and say, hallelujah, praise God, thank you. But if it cuts them to the heart and knocks them to the floor, kicks all the props out from under them, they still say that. Those are the kind of people that are real. Oh, thank God for the truth. That's what I want. I want to know the truth so that I can tell others the truth, so that I can live before others in the truth, so that I can know that when I tell someone something about God and salvation and sin, that it's right. I'm not just repeating what somebody else believes that I have a lot of respect for. I know that what I'm telling them is the truth. You know how much power there is in that? You know how much more effect it has on somebody when you really believe what you're telling them? These poor soul winners that just spill their, they just vomit up their sales pitch over and over and over to strangers that don't know them. You know how much more power there is in a life that's pure, that is walking in truth?
That's right.
And that when you say something, it has authority.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. And to have something to say. Do you know what it feels like? I mean, I remember years ago in the beginning going out, visitation and stuff, and I was scared because I didn't know what in the world to say. I knew these people were going to ask questions and say things, and I didn't know what in the world to say to them. You know, that is no fear at all anymore. I don't even think about that. And it's like what you said the other day, Kim. I don't sit and premeditate and think, now what am I going to say if I say this? And what am I going to say if I do that? And I just don't think about it. Just fill your mind and your heart with the Word of God.
Yes.
Seek the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Fill your heart and your mind up with it, and there will be no problem. The Holy Ghost will have plenty to draw on, and you won't be without words. And more than that, you won't be without power in your witness. I found out a long time ago that if I just pray and say, Lord, put somebody in my path. Lord, let me be a witness for you. Let me tell somebody. He'll do it.
Yeah, he sure will.
And then when he does, oh, it's a totally different thing. You don't have to go. Now, what was part one? What was that first step?
Mm-hmm.
Step two. What was that? Romans Road. Let's see. Get out your card and... You don't have to do that. It just flows. You have a spring. You have a river of life springing up out of you.
Yes, amen.
That's the way it is. It's free. It freely flows. And it's effective and powerful. Much better way to live. That's what the ministry is. I hope you realize that if you're saved here tonight, you have received that ministry. And that's the kind of ministry that does some good. That changes lives. That affects people.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen. All right. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts. Lord, help us to realize these truths and these responsibilities we have. And Lord, help us to live up to them. Help us to be aware of souls around us that are perishing. And Lord, help us to care enough that in our private time, in our alone time, that we'll seek your face and we'll read your Word and we'll study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, help us. Pray you bless our church. Help us to get home now, safely tonight, and bless the rest of the week. Give us opportunities, Lord, to speak to people and to help them to find you in Jesus' name. Amen.